Greetings, friends. Welcome back to the Film Alchemist Podcast. I'm your host, Griffey, here with a brief introduction before today's very exciting episode. Everyone, we've reached the end of our journey through the View-Askew universe this J-April with our friend comic book artist Jay Rollins. We are wrapping this up at Clerks 3, right? It seems like a fitting ending for our J-April excursion. It's been amazing to revisit all of the View-Askew movies gifted to us by one of our favorite filmmakers, Kevin Smith. So if you haven't heard all of the episodes, go back, find all those, do this journey with us, right? To do that, though, you must go to patreon.com/filmalchemistpod. There you'll find our Patreon-exclusive episodes on Mallrats and our Patreon-exclusive feature-length commentary on Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. Guys, Patreon's a great way to help support small podcasts like us, help us grow, help us reach new people, help us become the podcast we were meant to be. Just like supporting Kevin Smith early in his indie movies, support us. I don't know that you'll ever get the return on your investment you did with Kevin, but hey, you never fucking know. Go to patreon.com/filmalchemistpod to find out. Guys, we're on YouTube, Film Alchemist. We're on all the social media you're on, including now TikTok. We have content over there that we made just for you over at TikTok. So go find us there. We would love to see you. That would mean the world to us. The email, filmalchemistpod@gmail.com. Make sure you're leaving 5-star ratings and reviews. A couple sentences about why you like, hopefully, the pod helps us defeat the algorithmic overlords. So we would appreciate all that. If you want to watch some short films that me and my buddies are making, go check out Misfit Parade on all the socials. We also have a website, misfitparade.net, where you can sign up for our newsletter. Stay abreast of all the stuff we're working on. Our newest short film, Sugar Tits, I know, classy stuff, is making its festival debut in May, and we should be out and about, so maybe a cool chance for all of us to meet and hang out. So Misfit Parade as well. Woo! Right. Can you fucking believe it? The end of the View-Askew universe. As you'll hear our plea later, if you want us to do the complete View-Askew universe, Jay and Silent Bob reboot, you got to go to patreon.com/filmalchemistpod to make that happen. We whoring. That's fine. That's what we do. Neither here nor there. We've reached the end. Clerks 3, a movie I couldn't believe got a sequel, is now a fucking trilogy. The Clerks are aging maybe a slight bit ahead of me, but close enough that it's always weird and crazy and somewhat insightful to check in with men of this age and where they're at and how things are going, man. So this movie probably has the most rough edges of the Clerks trilogy, but it also has such an endearing, deep, heartfelt moments, right? Like those moments that really, as a Kevin Smith fan and as a Clerks fan, just really bind your soul up and make you happy to do this journey with the movie, right? It's obviously a very personal film after what happened to Kevin Smith himself. So we hope you enjoy our last movie in the View-Askew universe. We hope you've enjoyed all of our journey through the View-Askew universe. We hope that you enjoy comic book art from our dear friend Jay Rollins. It would mean the world to us if you'd go support him. Jay Rollins with an S all over the internet. It's been great to have him back for J-April. It's just been a blast, man, to pay homage to the filmmaker that made me want to be a filmmaker. So without further ado, enjoy Clerks 3 with Jay Rollins. Oh my God, I can't believe we've reached it. The end of J-April. The end of our journey through the View-Askew universe. Joined again on our farewell tour. I don't know if it's a happy farewell tour. I guess we'll get into that. Clerks 3 today with our friend Jay Rollins. Welcome back.
Yay. Hey, good to be back.
All right, guys. So we have plowed through most of the View-Askew universe. We did not do Jay and Silent Bob reboot. Mea culpa for those of you who are waiting with bated breath for our discussion on Jay and Silent Bob reboot. You can go to patreon.com/filmalchemistpodcast and pay us enough money to talk about that movie. If you so choose, we'll put it in the schedule. We'll do that then. We are whoors, if nothing else. Yeah, we're whoors.
I am a whoor.
All right, so we're here. We're at the end. I think this is the end of Clerks. I don't know that we'll get a Clerks 4, but I would not put it past Kevin Smith to still do a Clerks 4. Let's just start here. The first time I watched it, I was struggling with it a little bit. I thought this one started not great. I wasn't vibing it. I was like, oh, man, I don't know. I think the great trick of the movie, it's not even a trick, but right, the great part of the movie is that once I think it hits that kind of heart attack, looking back, that kind of, you know, scrapbook of, you know, a life well lived, I do think the movie becomes really sweet and endearing by the end of it. Jay, this was your first time watching it, so I'm really interested what your takeaways were of Clerks 3.
Oh, wow. So I've got two things. First thing is, I didn't know I could be this emotionally moved by something that Kevin Smith made.
Mm-hmm.
He made me, I openly wept at this movie.
Okay, so I did too. I was painting the house, and I was like,
This is my first thing. My wife was like, what is wrong? And I seriously was crying as if somebody I knew
she
had
thought you were jerking
I don't, off again. I was not ready for that. That's my first thing. My second thing is, this is the biggest pile of shit movie. How can it be both?
In those two spaces. Yeah. It's like a Doctor Who episode, right? Like a man who can stand in two worlds at once. Yeah. Cause there is a part where it's like, it's still trying to do like, the Clerks fastball.
It's that first half and second half.
Well, because my thing was like, you know, Elias and them come in and it's the fucking NFTs and it's the kite. And Jay and Silent Bob like own a store now, but they're still trying to be cool. And I was like,
oh my God, what?
The jokes are clunky as shit at the start. Like that first like 20 minutes, it's hard. Like it is not going well. Once they get to the hospital, it's like, who are these fucking Looney Tunes taking care of him? And they don't add anything. They don't become part of the story. I was like, oh my God. But then we realized that we lost Rosario Dawson's character, right?
Yeah.
And I thought this was like, again, Brian O'Halloran, right? Every movie he's bringing a little more. I thought he did a wonderful job playing this guy who, you know, lost a loved one, lost a potential. But I love that, right? He lost a potential happy ending, as he says later. And so I think once you start dabbling in that, you're like, okay. And I also love this trick of the movie, is that the movie ostensibly is Randall has his heart attack, right? And he's like, I got to tell my story. And all he's doing is telling Dante how he's not a part of the story. But really the thing that we kind of are always happy to get back to is Dante, right? Someone who's actually put something on the line and lost. What did you make of this dichotomy about Randall not sharing the narrative, Alex?
I think it's of two minds. Like, for me, the movie is about assigning emotional value to the nostalgia we all have for these movies, for this particular set of movies in the Viewisk universe.
Oh yeah.
And then I'm like the plot is so plotty. And we don't have that normally in – we don't have that in, like, Clerks world. Clerks is about an experience. This is the first Clerks movie to not take place in just one day. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the other thing, too. It's a peculiar reveal when you realize, like, oh, wow, they do the same thing every day. Those days that we've met them are actually,
we thought
like,
just caught them on the right day 20 years
right.
apart.
Like,
but
that's
no,
what it's like.
It.
Yeah, like those days we caught them, we're like, oh, wow, those were exceptional days, weren't they? The rest of them have been exceptionally boring, except for these events that we find out about, especially with Dante. But
especially because that's what Randall puts in the script. So you're like, literally nothing cool or interesting happened.
Yeah, nothing better happened. So I think the movie really has the work of doing just emotional values for a lot of stuff. And I think in that regard, it succeeds. Like, you know, we all three of us cried watching this movie. Like,
right. But I do think if a normal non Kevin Smith
I think it's hard for a non-Kevin Smith person.
And again, that's a shitty criticism. Any movie you jump in on the third one is not going to have the same weight.
I'm not saying you're going to
What I'm saying is I don't know that it functions properly as a film.
I don't think it does.
If you're not a dyed-in-the-wool fan, because so many of the comments and throwbacks and cameos were so euphoric to me.
I think it's very hard.
Looks like a lot of this movie looks like DVD extras.
Yeah.
It looks like webtoons or like whatever. It looks like a quick clip. Let's check in on our boys. You remember they did the flying car thing? Like the
I remember that. Yeah.
It's just like that. Like it's like a bunch of those is what it looks like.
I think for me, like especially in this movie, like when they start the sequence of like making the movie. Mm-hmm. Kevin Smith's a better writer than this. I think this is the thing that I'm so like sort of thrown off by in the movies. And again, it's not a bad, like that's not a terrible movie. Like it's an emotional movie. So I'm assigned to it emotionally and not just because I grew up with these movies, but you know, like how can you not be emotional about Brian O'Halloran's performance? He's a grieving man.
Even seeing the characters come back, but there is shit where it's like, what's crafty? And you're just like, I don't fucking care. Anyone who likes Kevin Smith is going to like it.
Like, why don't we move on from that?
Come on.
Like, like,
and it's
weird
because they give us those hits of Dante like working some shit out in a highly unusual way, which we'll get to. And you're like, why are we pulling back from that? Because I think I was like you guys, right? Like when I heard Kevin Smith was like on death's doorstep, I was fucking wrecked, man. Like I was crying in real life. I was like, I'm about to lose my fucking filmmaking hero, right? Like he's the guy, we've said this many times, he's the guy who like is responsible for where I am in my life, not in a bad way, like the good stuff in my life, right?
I credit him for the good things career wise that I've
but he gave me the fucking passion to do this, and I was like, my fucking hero is about to have dropped dead. And so watching the movie and putting ourselves in that place of that like 80-20% whatever, you know, it put me right in that spot where I'm like, oh shit, like someday there is going to be a world where Kevin Smith's not going to be in it. And I'm going to be fucking heartbroken and devastated. And so the fact that he has those moments that so sore and you're like, this is great Kevin Smith writing where he's like, he's writing what he knows and he's putting all of his fucking heart and truth into it. I was like, yes. And then we go back to bits where you're like, Jay is like, check out this acting. And I was like, oh,
I think, though
I think Elias is great, the whole like now I'm a Satan worshiping NFT guy is like it's overdone, right?
I think that's the
it's a great cake with like way too much frosting. It's like it's all right.
I think there's that's the thing I would that's the thing I would describe it. It shouldn't be that hard to make a movie called Clerks 3 for Kevin Smith, and I think that there's this level. Like if it had been about Dante grieving over the fact that he lost Becky and their daughter, and then like Randall has a heart attack, so they sit there and
so
like if they spend like the day, it's almost if like imagine, and again we don't do this on the show, but it was one of those things where I was like, I would have liked to have explored more of just the Randall and Dante of it all. Like I don't need the other characters. Like I understand the self-reflection that the Clerks series is for Kevin Smith. Why did I say it that way? Kevin Smith.
For Kevin Smith.
I understand. I think it's because I didn't want to call him just Kevin because I don't know him personally. But I think that it's okay to make a third movie maybe that didn't have those set pieces. Like maybe it is like a My Dinner with Andre thing where they're just like talking. That's fine.
Yeah, and that's what he does best. My Dinner with Andre and Make It Black and White.
That's what he does best.
Thing. I think they both should be black and white. Do you guys know about the original script for Clerks 3 that he made before his heart attack?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't. What was the Clerks 3 script?
They did a reading.
Second, I was like, yeah, I know about the Clerks ending. And then I was like, wait a second, Clerks 3.
I think they had a reading in Highland for it.
Yeah, trying to run through it quickly. And Alex, you actually listened to like a script read of it?
No. He did a, though, they, like, for charity, he did a, he did like a live read of the original Clerks 3 script.
So he, you can't stop him from talking, especially after somebody's like at a showing. So there was a, this, Here's what I'll say really quickly. What I did enjoy about this was it was the first new View Askew movie I've watched since 2004.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like rolled my eyes a lot at this movie, but it got me by the end. And then I was like for 3 hours just looking at supplementary material and him talking about it or whatever.
Right.
So I did feel back. It felt really good.
It's a movie
But
that pays off your passion for Kevin Smith more than movies.
It was a completely different script. I love the there was this opening thing you see in this movie when Randall get has his heart attack. He's watching some superhero that doesn't exist on TV. The movie was again the quick stop gets destroyed. It gets destroyed by Hurricane Sandy,
Oh, yeah.
and then Randall hears that whatever this thing is, this movie is coming out 1 year from today. So he
Yeah.
just stands
Cranky
outside of the
Randall, yeah.
movie theater. He stands outside of the movie theater, and a month goes by, and 2 months go by, and 3 months go by, and people start to like walk up to him and ask him, "What are you doing?" He's going, "Waiting for the movie." What movie?
That's
The movie that's coming out in
almost
7 months.
premise of Fanboys, right? Their buddy was dying of cancer and he
Yeah.
had to make it to episode one. Yeah.
But a cult of personality starts around Randall because they say, "Why? It comes out in a year. Why are you waiting?" And he's like, "'Cause I got nothing better to do." And
Hell
then
yeah, dude. He becomes a cult leader.
by the time the movie is almost out, there's like this little tent city that's up there where like Randall is the head of this cult of we don't give a fuck. And I mean,
Nice.
there's so much in there, but like, Dante does die because there is a, when at the premiere there's a shooter who's going to shoot up the whole place. And
Okay,
kites
I
were
was
still a
kind of
part of
with
it.
you. Now I'm out again.
Yeah, it's like one of
No,
those things
it
where it's
sounds
like,
really good. I don't even so like the and at
yeah,
the
once you
very
get to
like
mass shooting, I'm mostly
it's
uninterested.
like the sand, it's like the sandwich that all of a sudden there's a chicken bone. You're like, really?
It
You
was
couldn't have figured this out?
super dark. So that stuff happens. Jay and Silent Bob curb stomp, like literally he was still in his like I'm making horror movies thing, and it was like in the script, it's like Jay and Silent Bob stomp the other shooter's head like and you see the blood and viscera come out. And
Yeah, I'm out.
then
I'm out.
and then so like they're in Canada for yogurt hosers, right? The last line they say, like they just look down, look at each other, and Bob goes, "Canada."
Jesus Christ. Okay, well
And
now I'm a little more appreciative of the clerks that I
Elias saves the
got.
day because he's been into kites for the entire movie. He loves kites. Elias saves the day by right as the his daughter, oh God.
What the
Dante's
fuck
daughter.
is with the kite thing? Like that was
Dante,
the
because the
worst, like
kite
most
was
repetitive nails on chalkboard joke that they kept coming back to the whole movie.
in his
Every time
original
they said
script.
kite, I wanted to fucking explode in rage.
In his original script, he talked about how much he loves kites, and then at the end, he stabs the bad guy through the back with a kite. And so, like, in the
Tell me
original
you've
script,
never
it had a
flown a kite
purpose.
without telling me you've never flown a kite.
And to save Dante's daughter, who is still alive, who is
Right.
deaf and the best goalie in the world. Yeah, there's a lot in that movie. It looked like a, it has a, from being described, I missed a lot of steps, but it has a full structure to
Didn't
it.
have the magic that sewed these non
A
sequiturs
full structure, you
together.
say? I am not sure that is structure I would call
More
full.
structured than this one, I will say. I think so.
Okay, that does make me happier that we got this, like, just kind of meditation on what Kevin Smith has meant to all of us. I'll say, though, the movie still makes, like, the classic mistake, which is we learned a lot in Clerks 2 that Randall fucking sucks. Like, Randall's just, like, not a good
Yeah,
guy.
Randall is not
He's
a
a
good.
piece of shit.
Yeah.
We should not celebrate Randall, right? He is a man who is a fucking pedophile. He is now has a misdemeanor hung on him for watching interspecies erotica and got all his friends fucking busted. Randall is not a great dude. And
Yeah.
what we see, if anything else, is that he has not matured much past where we saw in the last one. If the movie has a big fucking flaw to me, I would have just fucking made Dante the main character. Like, why is Dante not the one who's on death's door. He wanted to die, but he didn't. And now he's confronting this loss, and he's looking back at his life because he's the guy. It's literally the fucking tagline of the script. I'm not supposed to be here today. Does that not seem like the guy who should wake up post heart attack and examine what the fuck he's been doing for his whole life? Like Randall having a, because when Randall wakes up from his heart attack, he undoes the entire character of Randall, which is, you know, everything Randall says in all the movies is, you're the one who's not happy with your station in life. I'm okay. I got to spend time with my best friend watching movies and talking shit. I thought that was a pretty good life. He's the guy who was always just okay being Randall. And he wakes up and he goes, my whole life was bullshit and worthless. You're like, where did this fucking come from? Where did this guy all of a sudden find this fucking, you know, I got to do shit? Dante waking up and not supposed to be here today because he should have died. He should have rejoined his lost love. He actually has an emotional palette with which to even imagine making a movie. That, to me, fixes a lot of the problems of this movie, which is when they're doing the examining a life, examining moving in. We're all, you know, in at best the fucking middle chapter of our lives. We're all closer to the grave than the cradle at this point. Right. I think Dante is such a better vehicle. Like, why is Dante all of a sudden not the main character in Clerks?
Well, that's
Randall sucks. Yeah. Randall is a child and he's not a good.
I think it's a great example. I think it's a great example of why Jeff Anderson, like, you know, it's pretty historic at this point. Jeff Anderson is the one who seems to have to constantly be convinced to make these movies. Which is bizarre to me.
Well, he doesn't want the 10-10 gel in from his little hair quaff.
Yeah, I guess not. But, like, he's always the one. So, like, the movie being anchored around his character, yeah, like, I think that reveals, like, the fatal flaw.
Randall kind of runs the ship on this one mostly to me.
Right. Like, that's why. I mean, he's front and center. Yeah. And I think that's, like, the, like, there's a fatal flaw in putting a character who I think is sort of, in a lot of ways, irredeemable, front and center.
And also, Dante was always the Kevin Smith, and Randall was always the Brian Johnson. Brian Johnson never went and made his movie until later when he did Vulgar, right? Like, Kevin is the one. He's the one who was always contemplating and worried and stressed, and he's the one who made the fucking movie. I just think it's an interesting movie if Dante is fucking struggling and he's trying to make sense of all this. And the shit that he's filming, if Dante's the one who's like, this whole movie's fucking horse shit. This whole movie, none of this. I don't deserve a movie. Who do I think I am? I think that's better if then Randall's the one like, this is great. This was our lives, man. I loved going back to this. That's fucking Clerks. Yeah, that makes sense. The switching Randall and Dante to me
is the
biggest fucking flaw of the movie that I've never understood. I think it's specifically so you can have that final scene. Which is like one of my favorite Kevin Smith moments ever, which is Randall has this emotional epiphany when it's too late. Again, they're having their like, we're getting a divorce argument, right? Which that scene is fucking great. Like Brian O'Halloran crushes
it. Brian O'Halloran acts the shit out of it.
And then they're there, and this is where I was fucking openly crying, right? Was him watching in this like hell theater, because they're definitely going to hell, not heaven. This hell theater. Where they're just watching scenes from the original Clerks and Clerks 2. And I was like, this is great. This is great. And then the moment when he gets up with her, it's like, don't you want to see how it ends? He's like, no, I trust the director. He's my best friend. I was weeping. I was openly crying. So I was like, these guys in this universe has meant so much to me for so long. So if that's what it took, was this kind of clunky, weird choice to get to that moment? I guess you could make the case that, you know, that's an artistic gamble that paid off. I don't know what you guys think, but.
Yeah, I didn't. I'm not going to harp on it too much. I didn't describe the original script perfectly, but I do. What they did with. No, this is important. This is to your
point. You want God to go back and fix this.
Like, well, what he had done with the making Randall the head of Loser City was. Take him out of the story and we pop in on him every once in a while. This story was about Dante, who had lost his wife, taking care of his deaf daughter and making her the best goalie ever. And He has cancer.
Mm.
That's all. That's why he decides to jump in front of the bullet at the end. He's like, I'm gonna die
Yeah.
anyway.
Yeah, there's something to
And it's
that, I
a
guess.
Dante movie. It's a Dante movie, and it's what is Randall without Dante? And Randall needs people around him to listen to his bullshit
Yeah, and
and just.
I don't think anyone saw Clerks and is like, what we need is just more Dante, right? Like, that was not how you left Clerks 1. I think by Clerks 3, you're like, Dante is the thing that makes this fucking ship move. And I know
I take
Kevin was
back
like, I
everything I
gotta
said about Brian
eventually kill him.
Hollins.
Like, Kevin's been trying to kill Dante since the first movie.
Yeah.
So it was inevitable he was gonna get there.
He finally got him.
But and again, even the ending when Elias and fucking Randall are sitting there, you're like, I would not be stoked for a Clerks 4 with those two and no Dante.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, once you rip out the only person that kind of
Well,
emotes,
I think that
what am I
this is
gonna
like
do?
the this is that you
Well,
have to
Clerks
have it.
4. I'm sorry. Go
No, you're
ahead.
good.
This could be your tent city,
Clerks
Clerks
4
4.
could be it. So this movie ends with the ghost of Dante standing next to him. Clerks 4 could be a little bit of that, where he's always
Yeah,
just talking to himself,
he
hasn't
definitely
gotten over
needs
the
a.
fact that Dante's
But
gone.
you need Dante. Or you need Randall to confront his fucking vast crimes against the youth of America
And so
and his
Ghost
general
Dante could be
shitty
like
attitude.
the voice on his shoulder. I could see that being
I
some
let
kind
me
of
say
device for
this. If
four.
it's announced that there's going to be a Clerks 4, I will not be shocked in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, he made this movie because when he made Jay and Silent Bob reboot, some kind of distribution company, distribution of Blu-rays and DVDs, they're still making Blu-rays and DVDs. They said, we have never sold this much physical media on anything. If you want to make any more of these, go for it. And so he's like, let's make Clerks 3.
Yeah.
That's a little hollow and ghoulish, which is how you explain the first half of the movie. But
Ghoulish. That's a great way to describe the opening of this movie.
yes,
It's
it's hard.
literally like playing with like a dead body of your friend where you're like, "Oh,
Oh
he's
man,
not alive. I can't fool myself." Yeah.
I
Ugh.
was bummed out way before the death scene at the end when I opened up on my friends and fucking Elias has like this wobbly chin and like Jay
Elias is our
is
age now, and you're
methed
like,
out.
oh.
Jay is fucking methed out. He's got no teeth and like half of his jaw is missing. Fucking
Jesus.
Randall is definitely 50, and the only person who like looks good and like they lived in Hollywood for the past 20 years is Silent Bob.
Yeah, and
Silent Bob
Affleck
lost
when he
weight.
comes in
Silent
to
Bob's got a
audition, yeah.
tan.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I've lost a ton. I'm doing
I did
great.
Ozempic. It's
Yeah,
great.
post heart
Yeah,
attack.
I
I'm
do
killing
love
it.
that everybody in this movie does
Sorry,
look
that's you
like
got that
Jay
Runyon
Priya.
Canyon body, dude.
Sorry, that's a bad shot, but yes.
This is the
It's
when you
you
look
know
at all
what?
these
Fuck people that
guys.
take Ozempic, dude. I'm actually
I was gonna say,
diabetic
you
and
actually
fat,
need
and they
Ozempic.
won't give me Ozempic, you fucking assholes.
It's not like
I think it's
Always
for fat
Sunny, where
diabetes, not like type 1
is
diabetes.
is
Real.
isn't Ozempic is Ozempic just the thing that makes food taste bad? Is that what that does?
No,
No,
it's like a
it's a
it's a
diabetic thing. So if
yeah.
you're type 2 diabetic, essentially you can take pills for it. And Ozempic has some, I think it's just essentially like a ton of fucking caffeine. I was reading up on it, but it's something that like tricks your body into dumping weight, I guess. And I was like, here I am, just a fucking long suffering, like normal fat diabetic. I was like, this is ridiculous. But all these people
But it
jumping on diabetic meds for a fad. But now they're being punished. You can look up galleries of this Ozempic ass. So essentially they have like
Ozempic
negative
ass.
butt cheeks.
Ugh.
So their bodies become
Ugh.
weird shaped, and I was like, good. That's your fucking
Anyways,
cosmic punishment. Neither here nor there.
I think that like here's the reason you can't make a for me, the reason you can't really make a Clerks 4 is not just because Dante's not there, but like the emotional anchor and straight man to the Looney Tunes around is Dante. Like you
Could it be
need
Elias if they fucking unsatanic him?
No, because he's already
Could
been a
there be a
Looney
point where
Tune.
Elias is like, dude, I'm 44. Like, this sucks.
Yeah.
Like,
Now,
this was
okay,
your
I was
guys'
really
path. I'm
hoping
out.
there is like a revelation thing you could have, which is like one day he walks in and is like, how come you're not dressed up and all your weird satanics? And he goes,
Yeah.
So I'm in my 40s. Who cares?
He's like, what do you think about this new Transformers news? He's like, dude, I'm struggling.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not okay. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's hard getting to middle age. You're like, thank you, Elias. Like, there was a world where I thought that baton handoff could have been a thing. Yeah. I still love Elias. He's a great character, great performance. But the turning him into a Satanist, I was like, it really was like, you're like, you took something I loved and just...
Way too over the top.
You just fucked it up a little bit for, like, some jokes that weren't worth it. But I think there's a way you could bring Elias back and turn him into the main character, just watching his friend age ungracefully.
That'd be interesting. I'd watch that.
I mean, if there's anything Kevin Smith, I'll still be there to watch it. But he already announced his next movie, and it's not Clerks 4, so...
It's the fourth.
I was disappointed with Elias. When Elias showed up with a younger person, and he's like,
that's
36,
his daughter's boyfriend, fiance, so keeping it in the family.
I thought Elias, because Elias looks like, you know, a normal chubby 36-year-old man. I thought Elias,
the kind of guy who offers to mod your Transformers chat room for free. He looks exactly
like that.
Yeah, just
a big dork. Maybe he works like like data entry now or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I just thought he had a son. I thought he had a wife. And I thought where we were going with this was Randall was just going to be like, where's your Jesus shit, you fucking loser? And he's just like, all right, you know what? I just came into the quick stop real quick to grab some stuff. I got to take my son to soccer practice.
I need a smoke. I do construction now.
He was going to be like, I got to take my son to soccer practice. Yeah, I'm a Christian. That's really hilarious. Good to see you again, bud. Like, I thought
he becomes
it would be
the pickle
like,
fucker
people
of this movie,
on.
Just holding it up to Randall.
No, I really thought that he was just going to be a normal guy. He was like 19. When he was
also
fucking
like
him.
If you had Jay and Silent Bob, don't do that to Elias. Like, let him exist and be like a necessary valve for Randall.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of the miss. But to your point, the ghoulishness, you're like, imagine a Clerks 4 where there's satanic Elias, Jay and Silent Bob again, and fucking Randall, who still has learned nothing, and now he doesn't have Dante giving him a slight amount of redeemable friendship. You're like, ghoulish isn't even the word. Like, that feels apocalyptic to me. Like, that feels like it would be a full-on assault. Because that was kind of the problem with Jay and Silent Bob Reboot is, like, it's this journey of, like, oh, I have a daughter out there with justice, blah, blah, blah. It's so, like, shockingly unfunny for Kevin Smith stuff. It's just these, like, horrifying vignettes of, like, I just want to get my friends in a movie. And, you know, I appreciate that. You've earned that. If that's the movies you want to make, you know, this point, go for it. I'll watch them. But you're like, it's so not funny. And then at the very end, Affleck does this speech about how great it is to be a dad, how great and scary. And Jay's like, I'm going to step up to the plate. And you're like, yeah, okay. Like, they found something. And I think Clerks 3 does a better job of that. They get much more of that. Like, Dante at the cemetery, right? Talking to Rosario Dawson is probably my favorite moment of the movie.
Definitely.
Like, it is just this wonderful scene. And again, it sets up this really weird. So it reminds me of, like, what was that? The Thin Man, where he's just like strolls out and talks to his wife. He's like, oh, America's not what it once was. We're at a turning point. My Lanta. Right? Whatever. And, you know, but he's just out there talking. And I was like, it's bizarre if you think about the way Becky talks to him, that he still writes this character who's like yelling at Dante for being a loser. And hey, dream bigger, Hicks. Like, hey, don't give up, Hicks. You're still alive. You can still fix things. So he's turned Becky into that thing inside him that is still telling him to try. Again, why he should have been the one making the fucking movie. But that scene is just... And Rosario Dawson, again, just to have her back. She's like one of the best actresses he's ever worked with.
Yeah.
And she crushes it. And the shit about her talking about fucking famous people in heaven is actually funny.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And Brian O'Halloran is actually fucking delivering a great performance, and it means something. It fucking matters. And so I think Kevin undersells himself at how good he is at that kind of stuff.
I think so too. I think that's like not the fair, really yeah. that's He's the part so of the movie that good I think at is it. So disappointing.
Dude, I was crying like you guys.
He can do these scenes. Like, it could have been a movie. Look, I understand it's Clerks
the post Jersey Girl road that was less traveled, and I think he's afraid to go back.
That's exactly what it is. Like, this is like the road not taken, and I'm like, you could have just taken the road for this. It's okay. It doesn't have to be hijinks. Like, we're all older who grew up with these movies. It's okay that you want to talk about something other than
Yeah.
The stuff
we're at
that
the age where
about.
We wouldn't hang out with Randall and Jay and Silent Bob anymore.
I'm not
going
like, to hang
you
out with
you text
in the
Silent
stuff.
Bob and be like, hey, don't bring Jay. like, you just want to come and silently watch movies with me? That would be great.
Catching up to how very old Randall is. That is the first thing that I saw in his face, that he's still talking like that and he's old. I was like, oh, man, yeah. He's the weird 50-year-old at the bar who I just do not want to talk to.
Yeah, I was trying to bang a 17-year-old who snuck in on a fake ID, and you're like, yeah. This is just not great.
When I was looking at him last week and he was my age, I was just like, Jesus Christ, why are you like this? And then I'm like, oh, because you're 50.
Yeah, dude. This is a spoiler alert for what's coming for us sooner than we hope.
Yeah, but he, that scene in the graveyard when he's talking to Rosario, because of how goofy and off the rail, and I actually think that, like, make Elias a Satanist, talk about the small dick. I like both of those ideas as like being like a thing. Small
the
thing,
first Satan scene is funny,
thing.
But then him dressing as Dr. Frankenfurter for the rest movie was not.
Yeah,
funny.
I don't get that
yes.
at all.
Or even Jay and Silent Bob like run a legal weed shop, but they're like not comfortable with that. It's great.
They're still trying
did
to
not
deal,
stick
yeah.
the landing that... on any of those. And since they were so fucking goofy, when he goes to the graveyard and I see Ghost Rosario Dawson, I've got my arms crossed. Like, what kind of stupid shit is happening now?
Yeah.
It took a couple minutes for me to like ease into, oh, I like this part.
I loved it. Yeah. Well, this it reminds nice. Me of my wife where I'm just like, you know, my anxiety is just really high today. And she's like, well, you've had 10 cups of coffee, 32 cigarettes, a Diet Coke. You haven't drank water in 3 days and you sleep like 5 hours a night. She's like, could that be part of the problem? You're like, no, that's not it. that's how I feel this whole movie. It's like when you finally take like a nourishing sip of water and you're like, oh my God, but oh this is God, how a body's supposed to feel.
drink lots of water. There's coffee during the day, there's beer at night. That's water.
Yeah, for me, it's just so much caffeine and alcohol and not sleeping, and smoking
it,
does not help.
It is, isn't it strange? I don't know about you guys. I do find like Elias and Blockchain doing like the Satanist thing. I was like, there's no way Satanists dress like that. Like, I hate to be that. Like,
well,
just,
they're
no,
Christian
that's what
kids.
Elias thinks that
they're
Satanists
Christian kids
like,
imagining what their villainous counterparts.
Yeah. Right.
Real I mean, Satanists are just people that sue the government for religious
like,
freedom
whatever.
Lawsuits. Like, yeah. That's it.
Yeah, there's no such thing as like Satanists who worship Satan.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, most Satanists that I imagine are just like, yeah, suing the government.
There are people
for, like,
that like orgies and they want to have like a cooler like palette with which to paint. But yeah.
Of course.
The real, like, the Church of Indiana that are Satanists, right? Essentially, anytime they try to put up, like, a Jesus statue or, like, biblical shit in elementary schools, they say, hey, we're going to put a Baphomet statue in the same school. And when they say, no, you're not, they sue them to remind everyone that we have this, you know, religious freedom and whatever. Yeah. That's what they really are. But Elias imagining this Hot Topic version of a Satanist kid. It's just, again, it's just not fucking funny.
I just, no, they did too much with it. I think it's a good bit. I think it's a good bit where if just go subtler. Like, don't pull your pants down and say, fuck me, dear Satan. Fuck me, dear Satan. I will suck. I'm about to suck Satan's dick. Just be in there.
He did jerk off to the donkey show. There is darkness in Elias. There is darkness.
He whispers to himself and then, Mr. Randall is fine, and then he like goes, I decided to ask Satan for help. Then Mr. Randall, like, he could have done it like
he couldn't go find like a medical closet and light a candle. Like,
and then slowly over the movie until the very end, he's Hot Topic. That could have been funny.
Yeah.
Or he finds his faith again, whatever.
Yeah.
But like, do that joke, but just please don't like I told my friend I have a big dick. Please, I don't want anybody to see. Just say that. Just that one. That's fun.
It's the real,
that's
like,
fun.
Just
don't,
beating
like,
dead horses over. Yeah.
God,
even though, like,
it.
There's even stuff like, yes, I assure you, we're in mourning.
Fuck off.
Whereas, like,
I was just crying. Leave me alone. I'm already here.
Yeah, there was stuff like, that movie really should have just ended with him saying, like, normally I would quote Star Wars, but now I want to quote my friend, the best guy I ever knew. We weren't supposed to be here today. Like, that's where you go to black. That was so fucking good.
So
it's
beautiful.
It's the one scene
like
I feel like we've actually seen.
It got me so hard.
Because even when Randall in Clerks 2 does the, like, Oh, you're gonna make me say it, aren't you? I love you, man. You're my best. You're like, well, of course you love him. Now you're trying to fucking buy the Quick Stop. Like, come on now.
Yeah.
This was like a real, like, I fucked up, dude. Like, I messed up and I yelled at my friend until his fucking heart exploded. And I didn't respect him at all. And now I am like him. I'm going to live a lonely life. I didn't respect his journey of fucking healing and grieving. And now that's going to be me. And it's a beautiful. And again, it kind of comes back to what we keep talking about, the Viewisk universe. None of us were supposed to be here for this.
Yeah.
Like it is the miracle franchise and filmmaker that somehow got through at the right time and have built this thing. And so that's the shit. Like Jeff Anderson crushes when he's talking to Dante in the bed. And he's just like, you were always the Luke, right?
Yeah.
And they play the movie in the theater and it's so fucking good. And then we go back to, you know, oh yeah, I was going to marry him, but I own half the store and you're a Satanist and you have a little dick and I have a big clit. And you're like, all right. The world is in a worse place when we leave it because Dante's not here.
I think the earnestness of Clerks 3 is what we really want to lock into, but it's constantly undercut.
We're old as shit now, guys.
Bits.
We are fucking old now, right? Yeah. Like, we have moved past those things in a
it's
way.
What okay. I want. I don't need to do the bits. It's the I weird, just want you know, to like talk about the thing. Earnestness yes. of life. That's fine.
It's boyhood. We have grown up with these guys. We want them to at least be kind of where we are.
Yeah.
And Dante is like, even Dante and Veronica, that's a super underrated moment. That was a great moment where
really
she just
good.
Goes, unlike you, I have a family. And they go out and he's like, it's okay, man. I know you're just mad. I know you're not trying to hurt me. Yeah. And they're both just like, dude, life is fucking hard. Life fucking sucks and it's hard. Do you remember the good days? That's what this movie is when it's at its
That's what I wanted from Elias.
At its absolute best.
Life is hard. It's not getting easier as we age. Do you remember how great it was? That's what we're here for. That's what, when the movie's selling that, it's so fucking good. It's so good.
That moment, that's what I thought we were going there. Again, with Elias, thought we were going there. And I wanted him to make fun of Lord of the Rings or make fun of Transformers. And he's like, there's been like 12 Transformers movies. Last couple were okay. Yeah, I'm still watching them. But like
yeah, sadly,
movies.
Transformers like, has just won. They dominate box office like, they just won. We'll probably always get Transformers movies. They're a big thing.
I just thought it would be really cool if Elias was just a normal dude now.
Yeah.
Because he was the way he was because he was 19, 36 now.
Yeah. I don't know, man. That's kind of the problem.
If it's
going to
be a
with...
thoughtful movie, make it a thoughtful
it's a tough. I think it's a tough be... watch. I think we wanted something. I think we can all agree. Like, we wanted something a little different from... I think we wanted I'll just speak for myself.
Yeah,
I really
wanted
the
curb stomping Clerks 3. Like he showed us right out. He showed you what you wanted.
Yeah. I just wanted that. I think like it's okay for these characters to be at an age where they're like, you know what? Let's put these like childish arguments and these things aside. Like you're sitting in a hospital bed about to have having a heart attack. Like let's talk about what really matters. Like let's really have this conversation.
Yeah.
And if it had been about making a movie, that's fine too. But
and
I think
he will
the problem
make that
is
funny, right? In the right way.
Yeah. I think that's the problem is it felt unearned in a lot of ways, which is strange because we've done three of these.
There's little stuff that he thinks is cute. Randall describing the plot of the Mandalorian to Amy Sedaris, who is in the Mandalorian. That's really cute. That's great. Yeah. That's fun. Fuck off. He really likes the Mandalorian. That's
he's always
great.
Been, and then, he's always had that though, where it's like something is happening. He's like, oh, you don't know about this. And then he'll like lay out his thing. But like the NFT thing, I was just like, I want to turn this off.
I don't have a problem with the NFT thing. You guys warn me about the NFT thing. What's
I
wrong
don't
with
get
it?
It?
It's because, funny.
Also, the fact that one of his
NFT.
Movies is lost to us because he made it a stupid ass NFT.
Yeah, I didn't know about that.
Kilroy's back or whatever.
Kilroy
I was like, why
was
are
here.
You making a fucking movie? Like, the NFT bubble, besides just like the annoyance of like the problems with tech bros and all that shit, and. Their digital fucking whitetopia is like, it's just fucking insane. Like, I hate it.
They all moved to AI now.
Yeah. Now they're on to the next thing. We're just like, don't look behind the curtain of the fucking NFTs. You're like, okay, cool. I still lost a Kevin Smith movie because of that. Like, I'm still fucking mad at NFTs. either ways, that's neither here nor there. But just even knowing that I guess Elias would be an NFT guy, but it made me feel less about Elias. It made me hate him a little bit more. I was like, no, Elias, no. You know, I
But he
want him to
fell
be
into
more like a Tebow, chopping kids'
it's
dicks off in
all
the third
weird.
world and stuff.
Yeah, he fell into NFTs the same way that he fell into Christianity. He's just like he just and if he fell into pillow pants, he just listens to people when they tell him things that he
It's just
believes
part of
in.
them. Dude, a payoff for Pillow Pants would have been nice. That would have been fucking
Oh yeah, too.
hilarious.
I
He
would have liked.
actually gets high as shit and he sees Pillow Pants. Or
Oh
Satan appears
yeah.
to him as Pillow Pants. That would have been.
I would
Because
have.
we
That could
know
be
there's a
a
God
fun
in this
scene.
universe. We know there's a Satan in this universe.
Because now that
That would have been a great
marijuana,
moment.
no, marijuana is bad. It's legal, man. Just go next door and grab some. You look
It's
stressed. And
legal now.
then,
That's
yeah,
where
he sees some
you
pillow
lost your
pants.
job to these fucking weed merchants. Go check it out. Go check it out.
I would have really enjoyed Pillow Pants.
It's
Like,
one of the best bits that Kevin
there
ever
should have been a
fucking
Pillow
created
Pants
was
thing.
Pillow Pants and Lister
Yeah.
Fiend. It's one of the best bits ever.
Was.
All right, so let's wrap this up. Clerks 3 is a very mixed bag, but I think nails the kind of like emotional send-off, right?
Definitely.
It feels like a final exclamation point on the Viewask universe, but I think we've said this now for three movies in a row
Yeah.
that these would have been great set end-off points. And I think if we've learned anything from Kevin, is he's going back to the well. We're for sure getting another Clerks or Mallrats or Jay and Silent Bob or something. I don't think Dogma, but I think every other movie he's made is up for
Yeah, he
a
doesn't own Dogma.
continuation of this story, right? I think it could be the children of Jay and Silent Bob. It could be any number of things. Like, we're getting more of these. If this is it, I think they at least gave us a really nice emotional farewell. Like, that montage scene in the theater with him and Rosario is just fucking
Gets me.
wonderful. It's exactly what we came to do.
Big tree.
So, mixed bag, but take a lot of good from it, right? In total, we've now talked about almost the entirety of the Viewask universe.
Eight.
Minus one.
There's
Yeah.
nine
Minus
Viewask
one.
Universe movies. We talked about eight of them.
Yeah. And
It's not
again,
canon.
get that wallet out and we'll talk about it for you, baby. We'll do a live commentary just for you on Jay and Silent Bob Reboot, if that's what you want in your life.
We're
Jay,
talking
I'm
about
going to toss
seven
it
of
to you,
them.
man. You're the one who came to us with this idea. We all are just diehard Kevin Smith fans. It was great to revisit his work, but looking back on it as this kind of body of work, right? That's what I think is really fun about these months where we just do like a big franchise kind of, is you really get to see the connectiveness between them in a way that you don't if you watch them sporadically. What are your final takeaways, man, having revisited the Viewask universe?
When I brought up this idea, I thought it'd be, fun. But that was like October. And
Yeah.
then when I watched Clerks, you kind of hear it in that first episode. I was like, oh man, do I think this sucks now? Are we just gonna be old people who are talking about stuff that we used to like and like tearing it apart? Is that interesting? Is this gonna be a slog? And then Mallrats, and it was like, oh man, come on. We're
Yeah,
having
come
such a good
on. They're
time.
not
Come
that
on. I think I love all this. I love all this. And honestly, yeah, I've talked a lot of shit about this movie. It's not a good movie. The first half is not a good movie. Second half is a great send-off, but I think one of the beautiful the alchemy of film is that if a movie ends well, ends on a great note, it doesn't matter. It got
Yeah.
you.
Yeah.
And I'll also say I would love to come back for like a weird Patreon exclusive where we watch that stupid reboot movie. But I'd also like
Get
you guys to ask the audience if they'd like us to do like three episodes or two episodes or even one on the entire Clerks cartoon. Because I think the Clerks cartoon is some of his best work.
You know what we should do? We should
And I
put that
think he
out to the
should have made
patrons.
cartoons.
If we
I think
get
he should
X
have made
amount of
cartoons.
votes or like a couple people just like, hey, send us this amount of dollars. We'll do all of the extra Kevin Smith shit you want, and it'll become a new Patreon feature.
Absolutely.
I think you nailed it, right? There's this book called Story by Robert McKee. It's this fucking just dense fucking
weighty
book about
tome.
Screenwriting, right? I have it somewhere near me. It's fucking gigantic, right? It's like that big. It's really not a fun read unless you're like really on that path. But he talks about that, right? He's like, people don't give a fuck about motivations or plot as much. They don't care about that. Most movies in our minds, because the way our memories work, are boiled down to about 3 moments, right? You remember a movie for like 3 moments, right? So when you think of Jurassic Park, you think of the fucking water, right? You think of the fucking, you know, the doorknob, whatever. Like, you remember those like moments, right? That make them iconic, right? E.T. flying past the moon, whatever. And I think even Clerks 3, I think Kevin Smith is always really great about giving you those really big highlight moments. Even Clerks 3 has those moments that I'll remember that will mean a lot to me. Even though, again, I don't even know that I'd say it's a bad movie. I think it's barely a movie. I think this is a love letter to us and the fact that he's lucky enough to get to do this and that he lived to still be doing this, man. So when I think back on it, I think that because I know Alex and I a little bit, the reason we've done so many episodes and it took us this long. It's scary, man, to talk about the guy that means the most to us. Like those it makes the movies more intimidating to talk about because you want everything you say to be genius and brilliant and reflect the gift that he gave to you. And I think it's fun to go back and remember who I was when I was watching these movies and falling in love with them. And they were bolstering me on my own fucking creative endeavors. So yeah, I will always cherish these movies. I will always support every Kevin Smith movie, no matter what I think of it. You go back on the ride, man. It was literally fucking, it's a time machine exercise at this point. And I love that man very dearly. I love him very much.
And this movie made me fall in love with him again, even though I don't think it's the best. Like I said, I was looking on YouTube for him to give a big talk about why he did this and why he did that and what the movie meant to him. Like it was in 2003. It was cool.
Yeah. Yeah. There's an extra passion for him that I'll always have. What do you think, Alex?
I think we're lucky to be able to sit here and say that there's a filmmaker who's made movies for the last almost 30 years that, especially who has made their own universe that isn't that's hilariously comic
exactly
book adjacent.
Ago, yeah.
It's comic book adjacent, but not a comic book franchise. Like this franchise means a lot
to us
because
Bond, Godzilla, and Marvel and DC. You're like, he might have like the deepest franchise after those kind of big ones.
I think it's for it to be what it became and for what it means to all of us. I think that we're so lucky to get to have a person who not only is a good enough filmmaker to want us to keep coming back to the well. Like, cause like these characters could have got burned down, you know, after Strikes Back, really, you know, you think about it.
Yeah.
That was also one of those like views. That was a very clear view of Skewniverse send off as well.
Yeah.
But I think that what makes Kevin Smith unique is about going back to the well is that he finds the emotional core, at least, to get you in the door. And that's a very specific skill, especially when you have characters that you have to bring back and you have to think like those characters again. And it's never gonna not be a thing I want to see. Like, if I see Kevin Smith has written and directed something, I am going to see it because that's my guy. Like, that's the person that He's done so much for me in my own personal life, even though he's never met me. Oh, wait, he met me once.
He did
meet
you.
You know, it's just,
you have a picture.
But, like, it's one of those things
where
you're just like, there's just a very specific emotional core value to that him and this style of his filmmaking means a lot to me. And I think it's just a really joyful, it's been a very joyful month of getting to explore these things again.
You love John Carpenter. You love Steven Spielberg, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like it is with Kevin Smith.
No.
Like, he's the guy who made me feel like one of us got through.
Yeah.
Right? That there's hope for us, right? So
there's a sneak past the goalie thing.
There's an extra level, and our interests were aligned, and our timelines were aligned. It just it's always been perfect with that man, whatever it's been.
I love his,
and it's been perfect to have Jay back, dude.
Yeah,
our own Jay, I mean, our own little foul mouth Jay.
I love his attitude too. I mean, I don't like how much he shits on himself when I love him.
He totally missed it.
Yeah,
I'm the foul mouth Jay.
There we go.
And you love me and I love you. And, oh, okay, fine. We're wrapping up. So I do have to say, every time I get to be on this podcast, I feel like I won a listener contest. I have so much fucking fun. And I don't know why you keep bringing me back. But I love it.
You know,
and fun. I like doing this because Damn Dirty April, there's such high-minded concepts in all of Planet of the Apes. That like this was such a different experience.
I know this was more of an emotional journey. But yeah, man. Well, yeah, we had so much fun every time we talk, and you just told us, you're like, it's J-April from now on. So Alex and I have nothing else. We're good Midwestern boys that we honor and just fucking get the job done. That's what we do.
I got it in there. August is the month of your birthday, right? That's the one where you just do all your picks.
Mine is June. Alex, June. September. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Ooh, I do like that, birthday months. We're getting to the point now, we've done this long enough, we almost have each month locked into what they could be.
It is kind of helpful. It does make planning the year much easier.
It makes our life easy, dude, which I like.
Yeah, and this has been, do you realize this is my, I've been doing this for, at least coming on, off and on for third year.
Yeah,
you probably had 20 plus episodes under your belt.
I think so.
You're a real podcaster, dude. You're a real
podcaster. And then I pop in October, and then I say, hey, what if we did all of Paul Verhoeven's movies?
Yeah, we've done a lot of Verhoeven. We're going to have to find a very good franchise for next year, but we're going to have to really figure this out. All right, guys, that's it, man. I can't believe it. We've made it to the end of the View Askew Universe for now. Again, if there's one thing we know, Kevin will be back. When Kevin's back, we'll be back. Also, we're going to have Jay back at some point, whether that's theatrical or home release. There's a new Planet of the Apes movie on the way. We can't leave a Planet of the Apes movie uncovered. So you'll hear more of Jay. Make sure you go find Jay's work online. Jay, would you like to tell the people where to find you one last time?
At Jay Rollins Art on social media. But if you want me to draw something for you, go to jrollinsart.com, see what I make, and then send me an email.
My profile picture on my social media is the drawing you did of me as a fucking cosmic wizard. It's amazing.
Yeah, if you like D&D, I'm there for you.
His D&D commission for my group. My group is a madcap group like most are. It's I have a giant poster of it in my game closet. I love it so much. So reach out and find Jay. Find his funny books. Find him online. That's it, man. I can't believe we made it. Snoochie Boochies, I guess, is that what we say?
Nooch.
Most co-hosts don't fucking make you lasagna. They just cheat on you a bunch.
There it is.